House will come to order. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Today is February the 26th, 2015, the 31st day of the session. Pending deadlines. Tomorrow, the 27th, Friday, last day for committees or for bills to be reported out of committee. And next Monday is the last day for Committee of the Whole. And what that means is if your bill isn't through Committee of the Whole by the end of business Monday, it dies. So we can all perhaps be a little bit considered if we need to have a really long and protracted debate that's going to endanger the life of other bills, we might consider moving some of that back to second reading, which you can do simply by putting in a second reading amendment. The clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker,
here.
Baldwin,
here.
Barlow,
here.
Berger,
here.
Blackburn,
here.
Blake,
here.
Burkhart,
here.
Bird,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Campbell,
here.
Kennedy,
here.
Clem,
here.
Connolly,
here.
Dayton,
here.
Edmonds,
here.
Edwards,
here.
Eklund,
here.
Esquivel,
here.
Freeman,
here.
Gay,
here.
Greer,
here.
Halverson,
here.
Harshman,
here.
Harvey, Hunt,
here.
Yagi,
here.
Jennings,
here.
Kasparik,
here.
Kirkbride,
here.
Croker,
here.
Crone,
here.
Larson Lloyd,
here.
Larson Dan,
here.
Lindholm,
here.
Lockhart,
here.
Laux,
here.
Madden,
here.
McKim,
here.
Miller,
here.
Moniz,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Nicholas,
here.
Northrup,
here.
Patton excused, Paxton,
here.
Pelkey,
here.
Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder,
here.
Schwartz,
here.
Summers,
here.
Steinmetz,
here.
Stubson,
here.
Throne,
here.
Walters,
here.
Wilson,
here.
Winters, Winters excused, Zwanitzer Dan,
here.
Zwanitzer Dave,
here.
Mr. Speaker,
here.
I'm 58 present, 2 excused.
The prayer for the day is offered by Father August Caney, representing St. Mary's Cathedral.
The Miller Cabin on the National Elk Refuge. The Miller Cabin site actually contains two structures, both of log constructions. The original owner, Robert A. Miller, took up permanent residence in Jackson Hole in 1885. The importance of this site, however, is its significance in the history of the American conservation movement. In 1912, Miller's new two-story log home became the administrative headquarters of the National Elk Refuge. Although the Elk Refuge headquarters was moved to a place within the corporate limits of Jackson in 1942, this first headquarters still stands and has been renovated. Miller's original barn served as a stable for workhorses, as it does today. And 2,000 acres of land owned by him became the nucleus of the refuge. Today, the National Elk Refuge is in the middle of the heavily traveled tourist area called Jackson Hole, surrounded by national forests and national parks. The refuge is a winter spectacle for tourists, as thousands of elk can be seen feeding in the wide meadow east of U.S. Highway 26, 89, and 187. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the beauty of your creation. Help this legislative body be good stewards of your creation by passing conservation laws that will protect the national wonders of the state of Wyoming. Lord, your creation is just one sign of your creative power and your love for each of us. Amen.
Woo!
Journal report.
Your Journal Committee reports that the Journal of February 25, 2015 has been read and recommends it be approved, signed by Representative Steinmetz and Schwartz.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Thank you. Brothers and sisters of the 63rd, I am proud to introduce to you today a group from Goshen County, Mrs. Brummel's Trails Elementary 4th grade class over in the balcony over here, and then also Mrs. Anderson's Lingle Elementary 4th grade up from Goshen County. Give them a warm welcome. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
Members, it's with my great pleasure to introduce a friend of ours from Natrona County up in the, I think it's the gallery to our, my left, your right, is Bonnie Foster. Welcome to the House, Bonnie.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please.
I would like to introduce today our page, our honorary page of the day. He is a very young, special man. Is he standing up over there, I hope? All right. This young man happens to be the nephew of Representative Dan Zwanzer, and he also happens to be my grandson. And his parents are up in the audience there. I'll introduce them in just a moment. But this young man is already in first grade. He's already received a national award for art. And he likes his favorite team is the Seattle Seahawks, but his second favorite team is the Denver Broncos. And so he's had a good run here for the last 2 years with those teams being in the big bowl. And he loves everything about the Titanic. So if you have any questions on the Titanic, you can quiz him on that. And he knows all about that. And he also loves horseback riding. He kind of switches between his two horses, Snoopy and Adagio. And his parents are up in the audience. They will stand, Shauna and Ty. That's my youngest son. And between them is the Grandma Robbins, who is also here. So and while we have everybody standing up, tomorrow is a very special day, and we tried to get him in tomorrow, but it was already booked. He is going to be 7 years old tomorrow and to conquer the world.
Hey, do you? I think I might ask him if there's any parallels between the Titanic and this body. Madam Minority Floor Leader.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to give a special shout-out to Shauna, who in my regular life, she has the unfortunate assignment of trying to keep me organized, which all of you know is not really possible. So.
Okay.
Shauna would be my sister-in-law, the page of the day's mother.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good chairman of the... Well, the good speaker of the House allowed me to put a bronze on his table and have it there for a few days. And those of you that were around when we did the Code of the West, it had some positions that I think most of us live by and certainly Wyoming is recognized for. This is a knockoff of this. It was a gift from my wife to me a couple of years ago, and I've used it up in my office to bring in people and point to it and say, read what it says, and then give me your impression. So I'd like to ask you to do that at your leisure. Come up and look at that bronze and see what it is. It's a Chris Navarro limited edition, but it's a very, very nice piece of work, and it, I think, reflects the image that we all try to follow.
Okay. Messages from the Senate.
Message number 325. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below by the vote indicated. Senate File 29, Motor Vehicle Driver's License Exemptions. Ayes 29, 1 no. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 326. Mr. Speaker, your Senate File 81, Kevin's Law. The Senate failed to concur on House amendments to the bill listed above by the vote indicated. Ayes 2, noes 28. Senate requests the House to appoint a conference committee number 1 to meet with the like committee from the Senate to report recommended amendments to the bill for final consideration by both houses. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 327. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the like committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 18. The Senate conferees are Senator Case, Chairman, Senator Burns, Senator Kraft, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 328, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 11, Distance Education Task Force. The bill listed, the House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form. Their ayes 21, noes 8, 1 excuse. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 329, Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 25, Railroad Rolling Stock Tax Exemption Sunset. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form, and the votes were ayes 23, noes 6, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 330. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 61, Wyoming Chartered Family Trust Company Act. Ayes 29 and 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 331. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 107, Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. Ayes 29 and 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 332, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 126, Candidate Filing Requirements. Ayes 26, noes 3, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 333, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 139, Unemployment Compensation Protest Time Limit. Ayes 27, noes 2, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 334, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 146, Uniform Trust Code. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 335, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below failed to pass the Senate third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 149, Special Non-Resident Hunting License Draw. Ayes 6, noes 23, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 336, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 150, Arrest for Violation of Probation. Ayes 22, noes 7, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 337, Mr. Speaker, House Bill 180, Child Interviews, Neglect, and Abuse Cases. The House bill listed above passed on third reading in an amended form, and the votes were ayes 27, there were 2 noes, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 338, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 5, Quebec number 1 Historic Site dash 3. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 report on the bill listed above by the vote indicated, and it was ayes 22, 8 noes, 0 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 339. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Joint Resolution 6, Wyoming Local Food Production, IS 25, Notice 4, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 340. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 56, Wyoming Food Freedom Act. The House bill listed above passed on third reading with this vote. Ayes 20, noes 8, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asks the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 341. Mr. Speaker, House Bill number 214, Practice of Law Amendments. The House bill listed above passed it on third reading. Votes were ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. The Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 342. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 197, Emergency Vehicles, Tow Trucks, and Wreckers. The House bill listed above passed the third reading. With ayes 29, noes 0, 1 excused, the Senate respectfully asked the House to concur by adopting the listed amendments. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 343. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendments to the bill listed below. Senate File 42, Task Force on Mineral Taxes. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 344, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below. Senate File 17, Resident Contractor Materials Preference. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 345, Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment on Senate File number 84, Enhanced Recovery Carbon Dioxide Certification. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 346. Mr. Speaker, the Senate did concur on House amendment to the bill listed below. Senate File 120, Uniform Interstate Family Support Act. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 347. The Senate did concur on House amendment on Senate File 111, Summary Probate Proceedings. Ayes 29, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 348. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 22, Disabled Veteran License Plates. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 on the bill. And the voting went... There it is. Ayes 28, 1 no, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 349, Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate conferees to meet with the Light Committee number 1 from the House on amendments to Senate File 81. The Senate conferees are Senator Johnson, Chairman, Senator Case, Senator Perkins, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 351, Mr. Speaker, Senate File 46, Fire Misdemeanors. The Senate adopted the Joint Conference Committee number 1 with votes 29 ayes, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message number 352. Mr. Speaker, House Bill 23, Next Generation Science Standards, -2. The Senate adopted a Joint Conference Committee number 1. Ayes 27, 2 noes, 1 excused. Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk. Message 353. Conferees appointed. Mr. Speaker, the Senate appointed Senate Conference to meet with the Light Committee number 2. From the House on amendments to Senate File 13, the Senate conferees are Senator Christensen, Chairman, Senator Burns, Senator Rothfuss, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
The doctor of the day is Sigsby Duck, M.D. from Rock Springs. The nurse of the day is Carol Barron from Cheyenne Regional Medical Center. Please welcome them to the House. We're now privileged to have a special event, and for that special event, I would call on Representative Escobel.
Mr. Speaker, privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed, Representative Escobel.
Members of the 63rd, in my 9 years in the legislature, I've never done a joint memorial before. So it has to be somebody that's impacted this community and state in a profound way. And let me preface it before I do the memorial that I want to recognize in the balcony the coalition of Stop Suicide Cheyenne. Stand up. And members, I left in your box an article that came out in the paper about the individual that we're about to recognize here. And he was one of the heroes in preventing suicide in Wyoming. And suicide remains and has been an important issue to the state of Wyoming. And we still rank way too high in the area of suicide in the state of Wyoming. I would like to introduce Alladee Gooden. She is the stepdaughter of James Edney. She's the only surviving member of this family that's still here in Cheyenne. So, here's the memorial. The 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming, honoring the memory of James Edney. A joint memorial providing for the recognition of James Edney and expressing a deep appreciation for his dedication and distinguished service to his community and state. Be it resolved by the 63rd Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Whereas, James Edney was a loving and devoted partner, father, and friend. And whereas, James Edney was a respected and admired musician, suicide prevention advocate, and boa constrictor breeder. And, whereas, he diligently and passionately served the people of Wyoming with his efforts in the area of suicide prevention through the Rock of Life organization and offered a voice of hope to many of Wyoming's children. And, whereas, James shared his passion for music to help others achieve their own personal goals and persevere through adversity. And, whereas, James once stated, "I developed a never-give-up attitude, found many blessings, and made the commitment to make my life a masterpiece. I used music to inspire, motivate, and educate my audience. I deliver music with a message and give everything I have in all I do. Now, therefore, be it resolved by the members of the Legislature of the State of Wyoming. Section 1. That on behalf of the people of the state of Wyoming, we express our profound sense of gratitude to James Edney for his dedicated service to the state of Wyoming. Section 2. That James Edney will forever be remembered for his deep and abiding commitment to the people of the state of Wyoming through his unwavering dedication to community spirit and public service, which has been demonstrated by his selflessness dedication to suicide." Alladee.
I would just like to say thank you to everybody in the house. James would be and is very honored for this. He had many people behind him, such as B.A. Ayers up in the balcony, and Ken Escobel, and many people. So thank you very much for this.
We're now at that order of business of reading and signing of enrolled acts. The first act for our consideration is enrolled act number 44. The chief clerk will read the act.
Enrolled act number 44 from original House Bill 128, an act relating to special district elections. You do see talent, don't you?
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 44, being original House Bill 128. I've so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 45. The reading clerk will read the Enrolled Act.
Thank you very much. Enrolled Act number 45 from Original House Bill 231, an act relating to Hathaway Scholarship Program.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 45 being Original House Bill 231. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 46. The reading clerk will read the act.
Enrolled Act number 46 from Original House Bill 233, an act relating to banks and banking.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 46, being Original House Bill 233. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 47.
Enrolled Act number 47 from Original House Bill 145, an act relating to fiduciaries.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 47, being Original House Bill 145. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 48.
Enrolled Act number 48 from Original House Bill 39, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 48 being Original House Bill 39. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 49.
Enrolled Act number 49 from Original House Bill 237, an act relating to water and sewer districts.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 49 being Original House Bill 237. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 50.
Enrolled Act number 50 from Original House Bill 159, an act relating to the separate statewide writing assessment.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 50 being Original House Bill 159. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 51.
Enrolled Act number 51 from Original House Bill 96, an act relating to alcohol and catering permits.
About to sign Enrolled Act number 51 being Original House Bill 96. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 52.
Enrolled Act number 52 from Original House Bill 16, an act relating to crimes and offenses.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 52 being Original House Bill 16. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Act number 53.
Enrolled Act 53 from Original House Bill 172, an act relating to motor vehicles and placards for vehicles driven by persons with disabilities.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act number 53 being Original House Bill 172. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is enrolled Joint Resolution number 1.
Enrolled Joint Resolution number 1 from Original House Joint Resolution 7, a joint resolution to the United States Secretary of Agriculture and the Chief of the United States Forest Service expressing support for timely and scheduled completion of rare element resources, Bear Lodge Critical Rare Earth Project Environmental Impact.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution number 1 being Original House Joint Resolution 7. I've so signed. The next Enrolled Joint Resolution for our consideration is Enrolled Joint Resolution number 2.
Enrolled Joint Resolution number 2 from Original House Joint Resolution 8, a joint resolution requesting Congress to eliminate the freeze on longer combination vehicles.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution number 2 being Original House Joint Resolution 8. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Joint Resolution number 3.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 3 from Original House Joint Resolution 3, a joint resolution requesting Congress, state, and local authorities to take action to prevent further damage and remediate damages caused by free-roaming feral horses.
About to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 3 being Original House Joint Resolution 3. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 4.
Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 4 from Original House Joint Resolution 6, a joint resolution supporting policy initiatives that promote local food production in Wyoming.
About to sign Enrolled Joint Resolution Number 4 being Original House Joint Resolution 6. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 54.
Enrolled Act Number 54 from Original House Bill 150, an act relating to peace officers.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 54 being Original House Bill 150. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 55.
Enrolled Act Number 55 from Original House Bill 61, an act relating to banks.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 55 being Original House Bill 61. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 56.
Enrolled Act Number 56 from Original House Bill 107, an act relating to professions and occupations.
It's a Norwegian bill.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 56 being Original House Bill 107. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 57.
Enrolled Act Number 57 from Original House Bill 126, an act relating to elections.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 57 being Original House Bill 126. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 58.
Enrolled Act Number 58 from Original House Bill 139, an act relating to unemployment compensation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 58 being Original House Bill 139. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 59.
Enrolled Act Number 59 from Original House Bill 146, an act relating to the Uniform Trust Code.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 59 being Original House Bill 146. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 60.
Enrolled Act Number 60 from Original House Bill 88, an act relating to public health and safety.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 60 being Original House Bill 88. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 61.
Enrolled Act Number 61 from Original House Bill 77, an act relating to the Wyoming retirement system.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 61 being Original House Bill 77. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 62.
Enrolled Act Number 62 from Original House Bill 225, an act relating to law enforcement.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 62 being Original House Bill 225. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 63.
Enrolled Act Number 63 from Original House Bill 44, an act relating to taxation.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 63 being Original House Bill 44. I have so signed. The next bill for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 64.
Enrolled Act Number 64 from Original House Bill 32, an act relating to public health.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 64, being original, House Bill 32. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 20, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 20, Senate, from original Senate File 36, an act relating to crimes and offenses and consumer protection.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 20, Senate, being original Senate File 36. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 21, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 21, Senate, from original Senate File 102, an act relating to Medicaid.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 21, Senate, being original Senate File 102. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 22, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 22, Senate, from original Senate File 35, an act relating to consumer protection.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 22, Senate, being original Senate File 35. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 23, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 23, Senate, from original Senate File 117, an act relating to environmental quality.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 23, Senate, being original Senate File 117. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 24, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 24, Senate, from original Senate File 137, an act relating to motor vehicle registration.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 24, Senate, being original Senate File 137. I have so signed. The next act for our consideration is Enrolled Act Number 25, Senate.
Enrolled Act Number 25, Senate, from original Senate File 62, an act relating to health insurance.
I'm about to sign Enrolled Act Number 25, Senate, being original Senate File 62. I have so signed. Reports from standing committees.
Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom is referred Senate File 121, Career and Technical Training Grants, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that are due pass with amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Burkhardt, Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, Stebson, one no vote, Representative Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 145, Engrossed Hospital Uncompensated Care, respectfully report saying back to the House with a recommendation and a due pass with following recommendations pursuant to House Rule 4-8, that a due pass with the following amendments, and that a due pass should the recommended amendments not be adopted. Those who voted aye, Representative Connolly, Greer, Harshman, Moniz, and Stebson, two no votes, Representatives Burkhardt and Nicholas, signed by Representative Harshman, Chairman. Your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 8, Engrossed State Education Accountability and Assessment, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass with following amendments. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freedom, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, Throne, two no votes, Representative Hunt and Yeagy, and one excuse, Representative Patton, signed by Representative Northrop, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, your Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 74, Summer School Intervention and Remediation, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yeagy, Northrop, Paxton, Piperinen, Summers, Throne, one excused, Representative Patton, signed by Representative Northrop, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 4, Education, to whom is referred Senate File 91, Charter School Eligibility - Bonus Payments, respectfully report same back to the House with a recommendation that a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Freeman, Hunt, Yagi, Northrup, Paxton, Pipirinen, Summers, Throne, one excused, Representative Patton, signed by Representative Northrup, Vice Chairman. Mr. Speaker, Committee Number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom is referred Senate File 85, Adult Foster Care Pilot Project, respectfully reports same back to the House with a recommendation that it do pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Baldwin, Barlow, Dayton, Edmonds, Gasparic, Larson, Schwartz, Wilson, and one excused, Representative Harvey, signed by Representative Larson, Vice Chairman.
Conference Committee on House Bill 15. Representative Crone, Chairman. Representative Halverson, Representative Reeder. Conference Committee on Senate File 12. Representative Miller, Chair. Chairman Miller, Chair. Representative Baker and Representative Walters. Conference Committee on Senate File 18. Representative Greer, Chairman. Representative Miller, Chairman Miller, and Madam Minority Floor Leader Throne. Conference Committee on Senate File 33. Chairman Zwanitzer Dan, Chair. Representative Stubson and Representative Blackburn. Conference Committee on Senate File 63. Representative Barlow, Chair. Representative Baker and Representative Summers. Right. Re-referrals. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Education needs to re-refer Senate File 8 to Appropriations, and also we need to re-refer Senate File... Oh, let me find it. Senate File... Oh, I can't find it. Hang on.
Senate File 8 is re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2, and Vice Chairman Northrup, we're hanging on here.
Senate File 91 referred to Appropriations also. Thank
Senate
you.
File 91 is also re-referred to Appropriations Committee Number 2. We're now at that business of request to concur with Senate amendments to House rules. The first message for our consideration is message number 328 on House Bill 11. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence on message number 238 to House Bill 11 and ask for your no vote. The Senate has stripped out all the people that the House has put in for this task force, and we'd like for them to explain their actions. So once again, vote no.
Discussion on the motion. Question being called. We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 11. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer. Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparic,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm,
no.
Lockhart,
no.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
no.
McKim,
no.
Miller,
no.
Moniz,
no.
Nicholas,
no.
Northrup,
no.
Patton excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
No.
Throne. Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Blackburn, aye to no. Connolly, aye to no. Allen, aye to no. Are there any other changes? Stubson, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 2 aye, 56 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 11. The next concurrence for our consideration is message number 329 on House Bill 25, Chairman Madden.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for approval or acceptance of this message 329 based on House Bill 25 and ask you to vote yes. And the only thing they did after it was all over with is they added a sunset date and a reporting requirement to the Joint Revenue Committee. The bad stuff that they put in, they have the wisdom to take it out themselves so we don't have to deal with it.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds. Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquibel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson, Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm, Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
no.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
no.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne, Walters,
aye.
Wilson, Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 25. Next bill for our consideration. Next message is message number 337 on House Bill 180, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message 337 to House Bill 180. And as much as I hate to oppose what the fine people across the hall did, I'm going to ask you to vote no. They messed with the language a little bit in here, so we need to go back and chat with them and try to improve it and get it back to where we had it. So I ask for your no vote.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 180. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will read the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
No.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards. Eklund,
no.
Esquibel,
no.
Freeman,
no.
Gay,
no.
Greer,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Harshman,
no.
Harvey,
no.
Hunt,
no.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
no.
Kasparik,
no.
Kirkbride,
no.
Croker,
no.
Crone,
no.
Larson Lloyd,
no.
Larson Dan,
no.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton. Excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Piperinen.
No.
Pinnell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson. Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
No.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Baker? No to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. One aye, 57 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 180. The next bill for our, or message for our consideration is message 340 on House Bill 56, Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move concurrence of message 340 to House Bill 56 and ask for your aye vote. If you'll look at that, they did very little with this bill except change everything in it. But actually, they didn't change anything in the bill, and everything turned out very well on it. And therefore, I ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 56. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton. Edmonds,
aye.
Edwards,
aye.
Eklund,
aye.
Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings, Kasparik, Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Piperinen,
aye.
Pinnell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
no.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave, Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 56. Next bill for our consideration is message number 341 on House Bill 214, Chairman Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move message number 341 on House Bill 214 and ask for your no vote. Again, the Senate made a major change by reinserting a statute that we had removed in the repealer. We have to go over there and straighten it out. So please vote no.
We're voting on the motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 214. A majority of the elected members is required. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
No.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
No.
Barlow.
No.
Berger.
No.
Blackburn.
No.
Blake.
No.
Burkhart.
No.
Byrd.
No.
Campbell.
No.
Kennedy.
No.
Clem.
No.
Connolly.
No.
Dayton.
No.
Edmonds.
No.
Edwards.
No.
Eklund.
No.
Esquivel.
No.
Freeman.
No.
Gay.
No.
Greer.
No.
Halverson. Harshman.
No.
Harvey.
No.
Hunt.
No.
Yagi.
No.
Jennings.
No.
Kasparik.
No.
Kirkbride.
No.
Croker.
No.
Crone.
No.
Larson Lloyd.
No.
Larson Dan.
No.
Lindholm.
No.
Lockhart.
No.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
No.
McKim.
No.
Miller.
No.
Moniz.
No.
Nicholas.
No.
Northrup.
No.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
No.
Pelkey.
No.
Petroff.
No.
Pieperinen.
No.
Pennell.
No.
Reeder.
No.
Schwartz.
No.
Summers.
No.
Steinmetz.
No.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
No.
Walters.
No.
Wilson.
No.
Winters, excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
No.
Mr. Speaker.
No.
I'm about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 3 aye, 55 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to not concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 214. The next message for our consideration is message number 342 on House Bill 197. Chairman Zwanitzer Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move for concurrence on message 342 to House Bill 197. That's the emergency vehicle, tow truck, and wreckers. The other side basically are going to allow a wrecker truck to only have red flashing lights as compared to how it is at the moment that it's red and blue. I've checked with the sponsor and with the agency involved, and they are both fine with it, and I would encourage your aye vote.
We're voting on a motion to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 197. A majority of the elected members is required. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn. Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Byrd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Eklund,
aye. Esquivel,
aye.
Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
no.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused, Paxton,
aye.
Pelkey,
aye.
Petroff,
aye.
Pieperinen,
aye.
Pennell,
aye.
Reeder,
aye.
Schwartz,
aye.
Summers,
aye.
Steinmetz,
aye.
Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters, excused, Zwanitzer Dan,
aye.
Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you voted to concur with Senate amendments to House Bill 197. We're now at that order of business of adoption of Joint Conference Committee reports. The first report for our consideration is Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 73, Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move the adoption of Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 73 and ask for your favorable aye vote. Members, this bill that we passed in this body, you might recall, moved the standards adoption process, which was not less than once every 5 years to not less than once every 10 years. And then you'll recall we added language that required the state superintendent and the state board and all the stakeholders, parents, school districts, to come together and develop some kind of process that they can have input on these if they need to be, if they feel that a certain group of standards need to be reviewed sooner than 10 years. And so all that language made it through the Senate. It was out and went back in, and it's currently all in, all of our House language. The only change to the bill is that they moved the not less than once every 10 years to not less than once every 8 years. So our conference committee got together, and we met in the middle, and it's 9 years. And that actually fits pretty good because we have 9 content areas that we have to have standards on. And as I referenced before, this is certainly not an inexpensive proposition to realign standards. So instead of doing 3 or 4 content areas a year, maybe we'll do significantly less and have a savings. I know our Appropriations Committee is looking forward to that discussion next winter as well. So With that, Mr. Speaker, I'd stamp questions and urge your aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 to House Bill 73. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Baker. Baldwin. Barlow. Berger. Blackburn. Blake. Burkhart. Byrd. Campbell. Kennedy. Clem. Connolly. Dayton. Edmonds. Edwards. Eklund. Eklund. Esquivel. Freeman. Gay. Greer. Halverson. Harshman. Harvey. Hunt. Yagi. Jennings. Kasparik. Kirkbride. Croker. Crone. Larson Lloyd. Larson Dan. Lindholm. Lockhart. Laux. Madden. McKim. Miller. Moniz. Nicholas. Northrup. Patton excused. Paxton. Pelkey. Petroff. Piperinen. Pinnell. Reeder. Schwartz. Summers. Steinmetz. Stubson. Throne. Walters. Wilson. Winters excused. Zwanitzer Dan. Zwanitzer Dave. Mr. Speaker, I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Laux, no to aye. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 52 aye, 6 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill 73. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 5. And that is also Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1. Chairman Petroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to adopt Joint Conference Committee Number 1 report to Senate File Number 5, and I ask for your aye vote. This is the Quebec One Historic Site Bill. And in the House, we added language to require public meetings to include the landowners and also to require provisions in any potential lease to include firefighting equipment for the local firefighters. What we changed in the conference committee was the may on the firefighting equipment, or from a shall on the firefighting equipment to a may. The goal was never to derail the project. It was just to make sure that there was consideration for landowners and locals and potentially any uses that could be that could be on that land. And I think the Joint Conference Committee report covers that without tying the hands of the state parks. And so I encourage your aye vote.
Discussion on the motion, Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I spoke up quite a bit about this, and I was on the conference committee and a couple other little meetings, and most of my concerns with the state's involvement were resolved. In fact, all of them were, and there was nothing ever nefarious about what the state was doing, and I didn't understand a lot of that. As far as the federal government goes, their policy is nonsensical, and God help us all. We just can't do too much about that, but I still have concerns with that. I think this is the best way to proceed for everybody involved and keep the state planted in the middle of it, and I'd encourage an aye vote as well.
Any more discussion on the motion? Question being called. We're voting on Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill on Senate File 5. A majority of the elected members is required to adopt the report. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker. Aye. Baldwin. Aye. Barlow. Aye. Berger. Aye. Blackburn. Aye. Blake. Aye. Burkhart. Aye. Byrd. Aye. Campbell. Aye. Kennedy. Aye. Clem. Aye. Connolly. Aye. Dayton. Aye. Edmonds. Aye. Edwards. No. Eklund. Aye. Esquivel. Freeman.
Aye.
Gay.
Aye.
Greer.
Aye.
Halverson.
Aye.
Harshman.
Aye.
Harvey.
Aye.
Hunt.
Aye.
Yagi.
Aye.
Jennings.
Aye.
Kasparic.
Aye.
Kirkbride.
Aye.
Croker.
Aye.
Crone.
Aye.
Larson Lloyd.
Aye.
Larson Dan.
Aye.
Lindholm.
Aye.
Lockhart.
Aye.
Laux.
No.
Madden.
Aye.
McKim.
Aye.
Miller.
Aye.
Moniz.
Aye.
Nicholas.
Aye.
Northrup.
Aye.
Patton excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Piperinen.
Aye.
Pinnell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters excused. Swanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Swanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Croker, aye to no. Miller, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 54 aye, 4 no, 2 excused.
By your vote, you have adopted Joint Conference Committee Report Number 1 on House Bill on Senate File 5. Conference Committee on Senate File 81 will be Escobel, Chair, Larson, Dan, and Lindholm. We're now at that order of business of bills on second reading. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 4. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File Number 4 from the Agriculture Committee, an act relating to agriculture.
There are amendments. We'll take them in the order that they're numbered. Representative Greer.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. After the thorough presentation of the bill yesterday, I realized I could make this better. Simple amendment, page 13. We look on this. All I'm doing and all I'm saying with this is I'm deleting this qualifier on the refund, where we say no assessment paid by a handler is refundable under this section unless the grower has also claimed a refund. I'm just deleting that section. If this truly is voluntary, this amendment makes it voluntary. Ask for your aye vote.
Discussion on the amendment, Representative Steinmetz. Oh, you're on the next one. All right. Discussion on the amendment. Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The portion that the handlers actually pay is very little, and as I said yesterday, they just are in that position to be able to pass it along. It's not a really big portion. They're a third of a cent or something like that, as I remember. So I suggest that you vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
Representative Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm opposed to this amendment, and when we bring bills to work, we did this during committee. Yeah, there was a lot of public hearing, and there wasn't any opposition at those meetings. There were some concerns that were brought, but I thought they were resolved. The handlers in my area are good with the idea of doing this. They collect an assessment in the state to the east of us already. There were some concerns in how it was being done, but most of the legislation allows the commission to make those adjustments later and gives them some latitude. If we allow the handlers one or two handlers to remove their get a refund on theirs, they can. They're given an unfair advantage with the other handlers that want it left there. So my guess is all of them would do it so that they don't have one. They can compete with the other handlers. So we're kind of picking winners and choosers if we allow some handlers out. It is For the producer, it's a fairly insignificant tax, and that's what they've asked to have given to them, is the ability to tax themselves. For the handler, each load, like a semi-load right now, would be about $40 for the producer. For the handler, it'd be his contribution would be $20. But the producer might only have one semi-load. The handler may have hundreds of semi-loads. It'll run into thousands of dollars of refunds, so I can see why they would do it. And I think that they're in favor of not having the refund simply for that fact. They all benefit from this. Should people benefiting from the results of this that don't pay the tax, should they get new varieties or new pesticides? I would say they will, but they probably shouldn't. So I'm a no vote on this amendment. I think it just makes a huge problem. We talked about it already. I think what's best for the state is to go along with what the testimony was through the year. Thank you.
Representative Larson,
yes,
for your first time.
Mr. Chairman, I'll try not to be too lengthy. Seems like I must have been yesterday. I have to push strongly against the amendment. I agree with the other two representatives that spoke. This isn't very much. The handlers pay a third of it. The growers are paying two-thirds of the assessment. On a $30 hundredweight payment, the handler pays 5 cents of the assessment. And it just makes it so much easier if there's 11 handlers in the state, is what I've heard, and I haven't heard any complaints from them. Up front, they were kind of complaining, but this will benefit, it'll benefit both parties immensely. So I'll leave it at that and ask for your no vote.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Northrup, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to correct it. I said it was a third of a percent, and it's actually 0.017%. On $35 beans, that figures up to a whopping 5.95 cents per hundredweight of beans, and so it's not a terrific amount. Thank you.
Representative Eklund.
Yeah, I would just add that we, no matter how hard we try, we just can't please everybody. What this bill has attempted to do is address an industry who, for the most part, wants it. Like I said, we just haven't received much negative on it. So I'm against this amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Three gentlemen I deeply respect have commented, but I do need to take advantage of my last word opportunity. You know, what we heard was that tax makes it easier. It's a small amount. It's a little price to pay. Yeah, it's all true. But this whole program was presented as being voluntary. That we allow people to go ahead and impose a fee or a tax on themselves. And that's fine. I agree with that. Except that we do have part of this group aren't going to be able to be voluntary. And that's the handlers. And all I'm saying with this is if this is voluntary, then let's make it voluntary. If we want to tax ourselves, if this group wants to tax themselves, then let them tax themselves, but make it voluntary. Don't let one portion of the group requires somebody else to pay, because then that is a tax unfairly imposed. Regardless if it's a small amount or regardless if this is easier, I think those are bad arguments when we're talking policy on something like this. So that's all I did. I'm gonna be in favor of this bill, but I just wanted to bring this amendment to say if it's voluntary, my amendment does make it voluntary. So that's, do what you want. I ask for your aye vote.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 4. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 1 has failed. We're now on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 4. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would move second reading amendment to Senate File 4 and ask for your favorable consideration. Just echoing the sentiment of the previous speaker, if this is truly a voluntary program, then let's have it be voluntary. So on page 1, line 4, after the semicolon and the word provided, we are inserting providing an exemption. And then on line in, page 11, line 10, we are inserting after libel, except a dry bean grower or handler who has is primarily liable may elect not to pay the assessment in lieu of filing a claim for refund under WS 1149-107. And all we're doing here is allowing people to opt out on the front end. This is currently happening in my county that is across from a state who has a dry bean checkoff, basically, and they're currently exempting Wyoming growers because we don't have to pay Nebraska dry bean checkoff. And so that's simply all we're doing, and I would ask for your favorable consideration.
Discussion on the amendment. Mr. Majority Whip, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment and for the bill. Once again, we heard lots of testimony and discussion during the interim and during this session. And, you know, I think that a few minutes ago the good speaker from the Capital County said it well, was, no, this isn't perfect, but nothing is, and we can't make, I mean, we can't please everybody involved. And I think that just if we start adding exemptions now, then more exemptions will come later, and then there'll be different kinds of exemptions, and then it will get very confusing, and then, you know, it's just going to cause a lot of heartburn further on down the road. So I would just call this as either whole hog, it's got to be whole hog or none. And so on and against the amendment and for the bill. Thank you.
Representative Eckert, for your first
time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had earlier presented a lot of the reasons why I opposed the previous one. This one is real similar. The grower has an opt-out in the present bill. We had testimony, nothing that was negative coming from the growers. They pushed this thing hard. They tried to set up the cleanest refund they could, and it's set up in the bill. And I have no idea what this would do or how hard it would be. I think it would put more of a burden on the handlers, and that was probably their biggest gripe with the thing. The ones that I heard about, anyway, was that they have to do things. This just makes it the bill has a cleaner way of getting the refund, and I'd urge a no vote on this. Thank you,
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd just like to point out or maybe ask or maybe all of the above. I'm on and against the amendment and for the bill. But first off, if the handler opts out, that would be the person that I, as a grower, would be taking my beans to. So if he's saying he doesn't want to collect, how does he not collect my fees? Does he collect my fees? Is he not collecting everybody that's growing for him fees? How does that work? And then the next part of that would be, so if one grower opts out and the handler's opted out, but the rest of the growers want in, it sounds like a bookkeeping nightmare to me. So I'm against the amendment. Thank you.
Chairman McKim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment and for the bill, I just want to remind everybody that the bill itself is really about forming a commission, a group of people that wants to get together so they can explore different ways to improve their crops. That's what this bill is about. So if they go ahead and do this, they find a way to improve their crops. Do you not share it? Certain people are paying for it. If they belong to the organization, if you don't belong to the organization, are you entitled to that? We need to look at what the bill is talking about. And I agree there might not be equity all the way through it, but the bill is about improving their crops. And these people are willing to go in and put the money up front to accomplish that. That's what we need to concentrate on this bill. I ask for an aye vote on the bill and no vote on the amendment.
Representative Larson Dan, for your first time.
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, thank you. I am against this amendment and for the bill. I do want to state a little item concerning the election of the handler and grower when that comes up. It states on page 4, line 12, only growers and handlers who paid dry bean assessments in previous two calendar years shall be eligible to vote in and stand for election. So, and maybe that might not concern ones that want refunds, but, you know, that is something they should consider. I against the amendment and for the bill.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for the second time prior to the sponsor? Mr. Majority Whip.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I earlier used an analogy saying whole hog or none, but we're not talking about hog producers. We're talking about bean producers. So I say it needs to be the whole enchilada or no enchilada with beans in the enchilada. So thank you.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you for the great debate. Appreciate all of the time and energy the Ag Committee has put in on this bill. And so I do just want to remind you that this is still someone else's money that we're taking from them and asking them to get a refund on. I do want to remind you that with the beef checkoff, that's how we started out, and then the refund disappeared. So just with those concerns in mind, would appreciate your favorable consideration of the amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 2 to Senate File 4. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 2 has failed. Senate File 4, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Chairman Harshman.
Mr. Speaker, requesting privilege of the floor.
Yes, please proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, as you know, it's not often we get students from Natrona County School District. You know, the county is number 1 on our license plates, number 1 in your heart. So it's not often we have folks here from Casper, but Kelly Walsh High School, and some of you might even know who Kelly Walsh was. Kelly Walsh was an awesome educator in Natrona County, really dedicated his life to there. And when he was in this, and when a new high school was built in Casper, it was named after him. And so these students are from Kelly Walsh High School. Kelly Walsh is one of the largest high schools in the state now, and a strong record of excellence like all our schools in Natrona County. And Ms. Volker, who is a colleague of mine at Natrona County High School, now teaches at Kelly Walsh High School. She teaches a government projects class. And really, to graduate in Wyoming, you have to have Wyoming government. And that's part of the standards. And usually that's taught in ninth grade. At least it is in Natrona County. And so these students, many of them are new to Casper, did not have that requirement, obviously, in their states where they... So many of these students are 11th and 12th graders, so they're down here getting part of the learning about Wyoming government and Wyoming history. And so they left Casper at 7 this morning. So, Ms. Volker, if you could have your students stand up, welcome to the House.
Welcome to the House. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 44. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 44 from the Natural Resources Funding Committee, an act relating to Wyoming Wildlife and Natural Resource Funding Act.
Senate File 44, having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 52. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 52 from Corporations, an act relating to elections.
There is an amendment. Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52 and ask for your favorable agreement to the amendment.
You'll remember that this was a bill that came over from the other body, and they had forgot to put an appropriation in it. We put the appropriation in it, went to the Appropriations Committee, but somehow we forgot to, in the catch title, write that it was providing for an appropriation. And so really it's just a technical correction at this point, but for the health of the bill, you need to insert providing for an appropriation in the catch title. LSO caught that, and we're pleased to bring the amendment to you today.
Discussion on the amendment. Question being called. We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 52. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no. Second reading amendment number 1 has passed. Senate File 52 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 58. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 58 from Appropriations, an Act relating to the Wyoming Retirement System.
Senate File 58 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 92. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 92 from Senator Coe, an Act relating to workers' compensation.
Senate File 92 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. The next bill for our consideration is Senate File 101. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 101 from Senator Landon, an Act relating to education.
Senate File 101 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. Next bill for our consideration is Senate File 142. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 142 from Senator Driscoll, an act relating to fire protection.
There is an amendment. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I would like to move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142. And this is in response to some of the concerns that were brought yesterday with Section A. So on Section A, We've reinserted Section A, so now it reads, no state or local official authorized to enforce the provisions of this article shall interpret or enforce any building codes or standards adopted by the state, or local governmental entity in a way that is more stringent or burdensome than required in the standards or codes. So your local governmental entity, you're looking at your city council, your county commissioners. You know, local control and independence is a key principle in the state of Wyoming, Mr. Speaker. The proposed language clearly reaffirms this while fixing the confusing portion of the previous version. Proposed new language of Section A, it's going to specify and keep it locally enforced for these regulations and to keep them from becoming more stringent or protective than those adopted by the legislature or the local governmental officials. And with that, I'll stand for questions.
Discussion on the amendment. Chairman Swanser Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple of questions and some mild concerns with the amendment on just a bureaucracy level this would cause. This means that every time, how I read it, when you reinsert it, that every time your local building inspector official or your fire code person for those municipalities or counties that have them need to go before the elected body and get their approval or their permission or change. I guess if the local official wanted to have a different interpretation, they'd have to go get it approved by the city council, the board of county commissioners, that their interpretation would also be approved by that local jurisdiction and would have their interpretation be the same as that local elected body. And I do appreciate that this is a lot better than A, but still it seems somewhat bureaucratic, and I just don't know if that's going to take longer to speed up certain processes when someone's trying to move into a building and certify it for occupancy, if this is going to delay or, prohibit in some cases. So I guess just some questions, if the bringer of the amendment could answer those, on how this would actually work in practice. Because it sounds really good, but I'm just wondering, when it's in effect, how it would actually work on a day-to-day basis in all these municipalities.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I also like to be reminded of
what the problem we're trying to fix is, what the issue is, and I apologize, maybe I missed that on the first reading, but what are we trying to fix with this? Because it seems to me that if we have inspectors and folks that are not following local or state rules and regulations, we have a different problem. Saying this in law is not going to may change that. We've got a different problem of training or oversight or something else. So I'd like to know what this actually accomplishes in and of itself based on an actual problem that may have been seen somewhere. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Larson.
Mr. Chair, first time for the second time, please.
Anyone else for the first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to answer the first question first. So the key point is this, specifies that the lawmaking body, whether it's the legislature or the local city or town council or county commission, is the body that decides what building code provisions will be enforced. So they've adopted a set of codes. Now their local building inspector says we want to, I'm going to interpret this to say, for example, that if you rent out your home for 2 weeks out of the year, you're now commercial code and you have to install sprinklers, you have to have metal conduit in your walls, something like that. They have to go to their county commission, or if it's within the county or if it's within the city, they have to go to their city council and say, is this okay to interpret that way? And the main reason behind this is because those officials are elected. They're representative of the people. And if the people don't like what they're doing, they can be replaced. Where it is, as I'm sure many in this body know, it is much more hard to replace a bureaucracy. Somebody that is appointed, somebody that does this day in and day out. Local enforcement officials, like any administrative office, they're required to follow law without making life harder or more expensive than the legislature or local government intended. To answer the second question, specific instances, what is this doing? This bill actually needs to pass, right, this session, because this is happening. In the state of Wyoming, there are individuals that are facing this hardship because some local agency has deemed their building to be in a commercial code, even though it's their house. They're just renting it out for 2 weeks out of the year. That's happening right now, and that's what this bill aims to stop. And I'd ask for your aye vote on this amendment. Thank you.
We're voting on second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 142. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Chairs in doubt, all in favor, please stand. All opposed, please stand. Well, I can't. It can't. Even with that, two absent. Yeah, it passed. Okay, second reading amendment number 1 is passed. Senate File 142 having been read 2 separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a 3rd time? Hearing no objection, so ordered. We are now on the order of business of third reading, consent list, Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the consent list consisting of the following bills, Senate File 27, 45, 73, 75, 93, and 119.
Does anyone wish to have any of those bills removed from the consent list? The chief clerk will read the bills. The reading clerk. I'm sorry.
Mr. Speaker, this is the 31st day of the session.
It is. It is, Mr. Reading Clerk.
Thank you very much. Senate File 27 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to highways. Senate File 45, being enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 45 from Corporations, an act relating to the administration of government and privacy, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 73 from Senator Ross, an act relating to forcible entry and detainer actions, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File number 75 from Senator Ross, an act relating to child support, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 93 from Senator Anderson, an act relating to gasoline taxes, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 119 from Senator Scott, an act relating to health care facility licensing, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming. Senate File 30 from...
That's off the list.
That's right.
Thank you. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the House? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Allen.
Aye.
Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart.
Aye.
Hurd.
Aye.
Campbell.
Aye.
Kennedy.
Aye.
Clem.
Aye.
Connolly.
Aye.
Dayton.
Aye.
Edmonds.
Aye.
Edwards.
Aye.
Eklund.
Aye.
Esquivel. Freeman,
aye.
Gay,
aye.
Greer,
aye.
Halverson,
aye.
Harshman,
aye.
Harvey,
aye.
Hunt,
aye.
Yagi,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Kasparik,
aye.
Kirkbride,
aye.
Croker,
aye.
Crone,
aye.
Larson Lloyd,
aye.
Larson Dan,
aye.
Lindholm,
aye.
Lockhart,
aye.
Laux,
aye.
Madden,
aye.
McKim,
aye.
Miller,
aye.
Moniz,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Northrup,
aye.
Patton, excused. Paxton.
Aye.
Pelkey.
Aye.
Petroff.
Aye.
Pieperinen.
Aye.
Pennell.
Aye.
Reeder.
Aye.
Schwartz.
Aye.
Summers.
Aye.
Steinmetz.
Aye.
Stubson.
Aye.
Throne.
Aye.
Walters.
Aye.
Wilson.
Aye.
Winters, excused. Zwanitzer Dan.
Aye.
Zwanitzer Dave.
Aye.
Mr. Speaker.
Aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 27, are there any changes? Are there any changes? Clem, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 45, are there any changes? Lindholm, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 57 aye, 1 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 73, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused. As to Senate File 75, are there any changes? Byrd, aye to no. Gay, aye to no. Are there any other changes? The vote is closed. 56 aye, 2 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 93, are there any changes? Halverson, aye to no. Campbell, aye to no. Are there any other? Miller, aye to no. Are there further changes? The vote is closed. 55 aye, 3 no, 2 excused. As to Senate File 119, are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 58 aye, 2 excused.
Having received the affirmative vote of a majority of the members elected to the House, House Senate Files 27, 45, 73, 75, 93, and 119 have passed the House. We're now on that order of business of third reading and final passage of bills regular. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 30. The reading clerk will read the bill.
Senate File 30 from Transportation, an act relating to the military department, be it enacted by the state of Wyoming.
There is an amendment. Chairman Horstman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 30 and ask for the member's favorable consideration. Members, I just wanted, before this bill passed out of here and would, you know, undoubtedly go to conference, I'd think that wanted us to look at page 2 again and the language that was taken out by committee number 8 in the House and as a standing committee amendment. And then I'd like to, so that's on, starts really on line 12, and it really takes out Romanette 1 and 2. And this amendment would reinstate that language on your engrossed copy. And so really what we've got 59,000 plus acres that are going to be leased. It's a pretty rare situation where we have a large base like this that it's only 3 that in the United States, I think, that allow grazing. It's very good ground. It's going to go out to new leases. And what we've done in the past is all those lease payments come to the general fund, and then we would appropriate back out for projects. The timing has been a problem. So this bill comes and says that we will go ahead and set up an account for maintenance of those grazing leases, but it says the average needs to first come back to the general fund, and we know this is pretty good ground, and it's going to probably get premium lease rates. Anything over the state average then will go to this account, and I would just show you the account and how it's administered on page 3, line 12, paragraph A. And this is the part I think that I think it was the bill was written this way, with a little bit of a check on all the money flowing to this account. Currently, as amended by committee number 8, all the money flows to this account. And we just don't think it's necessary. Looking at the amount of money that's going to come in and the list of projects that was referenced to us in appropriation. And you'll see on paragraph A on page 3 that then these funds are continuously appropriated to the Range Management Operations Fund that we create. And it's administered by the Adjutant General. And that's fine. But I just don't know that there's anywhere else where we set up a fund, take state lands, the grazing fees go into a fund, and one person will bevel or a group of people. They'll have to promulgate rules, but usually there's more oversight than that when funds are spent. And so this bill tries to get in kind of a compromise in the middle, and so the state average, because we did, in fact, buy those lands. I mean, many of us were here when we expanded the base, bought significantly expanded the base, So that's really it. I wanted us to have this discussion one more time before we pass this out. I think the way it was engrossed was a good way and a good compromise. And then this amendment does not mess with the timing issue that you heard about the lease, 7-year leases. So I left that 2023 in there. That doesn't bother me. But I just think we ought to, you know, have some accountability, and not all this money should flow to that. I just think we got to continually take a look at that. And so that's my amendment, and I'd stand for questions. Thank you.
Discussion on the amendment. Representative Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I guess I'd like to know, either in dollar amounts or percentage, what the anticipated difference is. How much is going to flow to the general fund, either as a proportion of the total or as dollars, and how much will go to the special account? So that, I think that makes sense. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Zwanzer Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I can certainly be corrected if I'm wrong, but I'm pretty sure in my last 10 years, we have at least a couple other state facilities that get to keep their grazing leases. I remember 3 years ago, we let the Life Resource Center in that good county with a reservation on it. They have some land right next to it that they allow for grazing. And I'm pretty sure, and correct me if I'm totally out there, but I'm pretty sure they get to keep those funds from the grazing on their lands that goes back to that facility. And so I just heard it mentioned that this is another of those unprecedented things we don't do, but I thought for at least two of our state institutions, we do allow them to keep the grazing funds on the lands next to them that they lease out for, I don't know if they go to separate funds or they go back into the maintenance fund of the operation, but I don't think this is the first time we're allowing this, but correct me if I'm wrong.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, as we discussed it the other day, there is plenty of oversight with this. It's going to committee number 8, the Travel and Transportation and Military Affairs, as well as we through a committee amendment, we included the Appropriations Committee. So these folks, there's two committees here that will be reviewing this. If it looks like these funds are being misspent, overspent, anything of the nature, there is plenty of opportunity to put some stops in place at that point. I'd like to point out also, this is probably or most likely going to a conference committee. We can discuss that a little bit. And that in that conference committee, we can also work on answering the question that was asked by the representative from the northwest corner of the, or northeast corner of the state as to what that percentage would be. If we go back to the Senate's version of this, when we say an average amount, we really aren't sure what the state average amount on state leases are, because there's a base rate, but the average amount based on certain state leases that get bid on could be different. So I think we need to have a discussion on, are they discussing actually the average amount, or do they want it to be the base rate of the $5.54? So I think we ought to defeat this amendment. We'll take it to conference committee, and if it is the will of the body to have this kind of money come back to the general fund differently, we can discuss that, but at least try and clean it up so it's a little bit more accurate. And I'd also like to point out, none of the improvements that can be done for grazing can be done with federal funds. These can only be done with state funds. So using the money that is paid in by the lessees to improve the land that they're using, and ultimately it improves this land that the state of Wyoming owns, and it's being paid by the lessee. Let's let that happen. Let's improve our state lands with the money that's being generated, rather than skimming off the top for something else in the general fund. So I urge you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Nicholas, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm in favor of the amendment. It's pretty interesting. When they came and presented to us in JAC, we asked them, well, what are these projects and how much do they cost? Just explain it to us. So they gave us a handout. They didn't really tell us what they are or how much they cost, other than in rough terms. But basically, they want to spend on, this is their wish list for just the next year, $250,000 on road project areas, $379,000 on external boundary fencing and projects. And so you're looking at this and going, where in the world do you come up with those numbers? They have free labor. They have very discounted materials. They got gravel that comes from the property. They have their own heavy equipment. And so these numbers, we're just saying, well, we'd just like to know more about the numbers and have it make sense. And then, you know, the grazing allotments keep going up. The prices will over time. So they'll have over $400,000 up to $450,000 a year henceforth from this fund. So basically, every biennium, we're going to turn over almost $1 million for them to go do improvements. And on this improvement process, we don't get to oversee what they are or the bid process or how much it goes to. They just come and show it to us after they've done it. And so, like last year, we gave them $207,000. And they used that to put in a $150,000 water tank. They used fencing materials for $8,000, fuel for their road maintenance. And I believe that that's not necessarily funds that can't be federal, because they're driving around all over doing their federal stuff on these properties. They spent $34,000 in fuel. They hire a range rider that costs $10,000 to run the whole place. But they got these large projects, which, by the way, we really don't know what they are, other than the fact that they just put dollar signs on them. And so when we asked them in the JAC, show us what they are, show us that it's reasonable, show us that it's improving the grounds. You know, this is like having a state lease building, and you give it to the National Guard and say, okay, you get the top floor, and you can rent out the rest of the bottom of it and keep all the money to it. We're just saying, if you're going to manage our state lease properties, we want to see how you do it. And if there's a reasonable return on the dollar, we should share in that. It's just that simple. And, it's not that we're saying anything wrong. They just want all of it. And at $400,000+ a year, that you can have a pretty good wish list. Imagine if you've got a $50,000 acre ranch and you get clear and free $400,000 to go do all your wish list. and then only come back and say, yeah, this is what we did with no supervision over it. It just we just think it's better management of state properties if we have a little bit closer look at it. We're still going to give them over $200,000 a year. What we can't supervise, but they have to demonstrate to us, but we can't supervise it or select on it. So it's a fair compromise, and for the amendment.
Chairman Zwanzer, Dave.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, as you might imagine. I did want to briefly comment about the free labor, because I think it dances in your mind that all those guys are up there and they can fix all the fences and do all the repair work. Well, they're up there. They have their mission in line. So they do not have any free labor. They actually contract all their labor out, and we're talking about supervision, giving them money. Everything has to go through the A&I division as far as what needs to be done and how much money goes into it. And most of those go out on leased contracts. I would say that they might do some minor repairs, but please don't think that they have a workforce up there that does nothing but repairs and maintenance. And as the fine representative from District 38 mentioned, a couple of years ago, they just said no money back. Well, what happens if they have a fire and they have to do immediate fence replacement or any kind of emergency situations? And then they're put in a position that they have to wait. And I assure you that federal funds are not available for this maintenance on state lands. They have to use those. And the other thing that I want to remind the body is that we put a sunset date in there. So we're giving them a little upfront money, but we are still going to come back and look at that. They're going to give us reports, and the sunset date comes. They're definitely going to have to come back and say, these are what projects were done and how they were needed and the amount of money they needed and if there's some left over. So I think there's a very good compromise before we have this amendment of just saying, hey, guys, we know we've shortchanged you in the past. We'll let you get some projects up and going. We'll take a look at it as we come over the years, and we can always come back and amend that sunset date. So I would be a no vote on the amendment.
Vice Chairman Northrup, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On a previous bill that we just voted on, this little handout came out, and in this handout it talks about what counties have to pay for a mile of new gravel on an unpaved road and what that to restore it back to original condition is. Well, understand that's just a starting point, because I really believe that we need to be in control of our dollars as they come into the state. This is a state facility, and we need to just keep working it as a, they can come in and ask just like the rest of us do for our programs on those dollars to fix up the fences and fix the roads. And I stand on and in favor of the amendment. Thank you.
Representative Gurr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just real quick, I was trying to address the good chair of corporations. We have a class of state lands called institutional lands. And if you recall, 2 years ago, we brought a bill to try to round up and clean up the maintenance, the use, the disposition, where those funds go. So we have addressed that, and that is a different category of lands. Those are our so-called that are called institutional lands. One of them happens to be in one of my districts as well. So,
Representative Burkhart.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, one thing to remember, this bill is not about our military department or our wonderful military personnel. I think this body is second to none in our support for those organizations, and just look at the bills that were on first, on second and third reading earlier today. What this is about is how we manage our state lands, our state properties. This is similar to if an agency had a building, they put an addition on for a large conference room, and then decided we only use it part of the time, let's lease out that room and make some money. So they do, and people pay them, and they say, well, we're just going to keep the money for ourselves rather than letting it go back into the general fund that paid for this building in the first place. And in fact, we're going to use it for maybe we'll put a bigger kitchen in that allows us to have even bigger meetings. This is the same thing. It's merely how we manage and take care of our state properties and how we administer the earnings off of those properties. This was never set up to be an enterprise fund for the military department. It makes use of the land while they're not using it for, frankly, target practice. I never did ask the question if they lose a cow out there, who gets to keep it. but it's how we manage and fund our state properties and our state lands, and we just want some control on that and some review and oversight before the money is spent. On in favor of the amendment.
Representative Blake.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment. There's some safeguards in this. We've got a sunset date on it. They presented the projects they want to do to us. It makes perfect sense. They're up there. They know what need to do. They really need to come down here and get it micromanaged instead of, we always hear local control, local control. So I say, let's let them try this for a while. If it doesn't work out, we can change it. If it does, great. They can fix what they need fixed. Thank you. On and against this amendment for the bill.
Anyone else for their first time? Anyone for their second time prior to the sponsor? Chairman Zwanitzer, Dan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate the response to my questions. And I think it was a yes, although a very indirect yes. But then there's this implication that those are state institutional lands, and those are different than other lands. But these aren't school foundation lands. These are state-held. I mean, it's owned by the state, and I know this is a much larger acreage than we have at other facilities, but we can manage these how we want, and it's not like the public can get on these lands, and we can use them like we use other state lands for due to other, you know, restrictions and covenants and military apparatuses on there. So you have to have pretty strict conveyances and covenants and agreements to allow grazing on these properties. And so I'd argue that they're maybe in a class by themselves, and that's certainly possible, but they certainly resemble more the same classification we use for other state institutional lands, because they really are kind of overseen and held by a specific agency. And so I'd also be against the amendment just because they are in a very different classification, and I do think there are multiple levels of oversight and bureaucracy we're already putting on this, which we really don't need to, but that was the will of this body, and I would ask you to vote no on the amendment.
Chairman Zwanitzer, Dave, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I wanted to answer a couple of questions. The fine representative from the land of coal was asking what the price difference is. And one thing that we did in committee on page 2, we changed average per acre to average per animal unit, which is going to be able to make it a little better to be doing some of those comparisons. Because, and this is going to help answer another question, because when they're doing training, they ask the ranchers to pull those cattle out. And if for any reason one of your cows happens to get hit by a stray bullet, it's on the rancher. It's not on the military department. That's in their leases. So that answers a couple of other questions. But I'm not avoiding the question what the money difference is, because if this amendment goes back in, it's going to be on an average per acre, which is like I think they quoted $5 and some, and their average is on an animal unit per month of $11 or something, but I just don't know if I can mix those together, and the fine chairman of appropriations might address that further. The other point I want to remind you is there, as I think the fine chairman of appropriations said, there's 59,000 acres, and I don't know how much land you guys live on, if you have an acre of land, but just imagine the fence around an acre of land and then multiply that by the amount of acreage. So the amount that it takes to maintain that particular property and to do it in a respectable way to keep friendships with the ranchers and such is an enormous amount, and I would ask you to vote against the amendment.
Representative Walters, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, on and against this amendment, I think there is plenty of oversight built into this bill already with the sunset date, with the reporting to two different committees, including the appropriations, many of whom we've heard from in the past few minutes. To the question about the lost cow, it was briefly addressed a moment ago. It is the owner's responsibility if a cow is shot during their training exercises, but the owner does get to keep that cow. They're just out the expense or out the value of it. Also, this land is not state trust land. We discussed this the other day. This is state-owned land, but it's not trust land. So that's why it gets operated and treated a little bit differently. This is money that the lessees pay that can improve the land, improve the value of the land, improve the asset for the state of Wyoming, and be put back that direction, as opposed to channeling that money off to some other project. So it makes sense to let this this money go towards the land that it's generating that money. And so, again, on and against that amendment.
Anyone else for the second time before the sponsor? Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The lunch hour is upon us. I just want to answer a few questions. Just judging on quickly the dollar amounts we're talking about, and we're going out to new leases, and these are the notes I took and off their handout, and this is kind of my best estimate, is that under the bill before it was amended, the state would get back on a biennial basis maybe $250,000, and then the military department $450,000, $500,000 a biennium. That's off what was referenced to us with new leases going out. And so that's my best estimate on that. I think, I think the question was answered about SLIB constitutional lands. We have constitutional lands for constitutional entities. These lands were purchased with general funds. They were purchased with general funds. And I just don't think we have any other agency where we say, you have this fund, and it is under the director of the agency's control, and then after you've spent them, come back and tell us what you spent it on. I don't call that oversight. And so really, we're by even just adopting this amendment, we're doing something that's unprecedented. We're still giving them probably two-thirds of the grazing fees to do that. But the word was that we've underfunded these guys, and we don't want to skim off their... Actually, the only fund that's getting skimmed off is the general fund. That's just a flat subsidies that should come to the general fund that is now going out, and we'll never see that, and it's just going to reduce funds to the general fund. And, folks, I would just say if there's ever an emergency or a fire or something happens, we always respond to that. That's what we come here every year for, and we hear about it, and we respond, whether it's passing lanes or whether it's ice jams or whether it's a disaster contingency or bark beetle bug money or whatever it is, we respond to that, and that's why we're here. And so I just think this whole thing about control of the dollars, that's what we do. That's our constitutional charge, to be the appropriators. And so I would really encourage you to adopt this amendment, and I think it'll go back to the original form of the bill and probably help the bill survive. And so I appreciate your aye vote. Thank you.
We're voting on third reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 30. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, no.
No.
Bears in doubt, all in favor, please rise. Those opposed, please rise. More than 22. Third reading amendment number 1 has failed. Senate File 30. Having been read 3 separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Allen. Aye. Baker.
Aye.
Baldwin.
Aye.
Barlow.
Aye.
Berger.
Aye.
Blackburn.
Aye.
Blake.
Aye.
Burkhart. Bird, Campbell, Kennedy, Clem, Connolly, Dayton, Edmonds, Edwards, Eklund, Esquivel, Freeman, Gay, Greer, Halverson, Harshman, Harvey, Hunt, Yagi, Jennings, Kasparic, Kirkbride, Croker, Crone, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lockhart, Laux, Madden, McKim, Miller, Moniz, Nicholas, Northrup, Patton excused, Paxton, Pelkey, Petroff, Piperinen, Pinnell, Reeder, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Stubson,
aye.
Throne,
aye.
Walters,
aye.
Wilson,
aye.
Winters excused, Zwanitzer Dan, Zwanitzer Dave,
aye.
Mr. Speaker,
aye.
I am about to close the vote. Are there any changes? Are there any changes? The vote is closed. 42 ayes, 16 no, 2 excused.
Senate File 30, having received the affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the House, Senate File 30 has passed the House. Conference Committee on Senate File 13, Croker, Chair, Nicholas, and Pinnell. That's a second committee. It's a free committee. Representative Croker, our life, our liberty, and our property are in your hands. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House resolve itself into the Committee of the Whole to hear the following bills on general file. Senate File 132, 130, 47, 124, 100, 11, 134, 133, 95, 24, 118, 88, 90, 9, 138, 57, 56, 55, 51, 80, 126, 50, and 144.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye. Opposed, no? The motion passed. Representative Dayton.
The Committee of the Whole will please come to order. The first bill for our consideration is Senate File 132. The reading clerk will read the bill in.
Senate File 132 from Senator Scott, an act relating to housing discrimination, defining prohibited practices, providing for conciliation and hearings, providing penalties, and providing for an effective date. Madam Chairman, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom is referred Senate File 132, engrossed Wyoming Fair Housing Act, respectfully reports same back to the House for the recommendation and a due pass. Those who voted aye, Representatives Byrd, Edwards, Gay, Kirkbride, Lindholm, Paxton, Danswanicher, 2 no votes, Representative Blackburn and Jennings, signed by Representative Danswanicher, Chairman.
You've heard the reading of the bill. What is your pleasure? Chairman Swanigsker.
Thank you, Madam Chairwoman. I move in the Committee of the Whole rise to report to do so with a recommendation that Senate File 132 do pass. There are no standing committee amendments, and I would turn it over to the good Speaker Pro Tem for management of the bill.
Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. A couple quick opening comments. First, remember, I am not the one that held you over to hear this bill, so don't hold it against me. And number two, this bill, you look at this bill and you think, why on earth would we do this? And let me just say that all the requirements in this bill are identical to what is currently applicable to those of us in Wyoming. It is no different. There are no additional requirements in this bill than currently exist. The purpose of this bill, and the sole purpose of this bill, is to ensure that the enforcement of these fair housing provisions occur in Wyoming by Wyoming people rather than by federal bureaucracy. And the real key provision of the bill, if you look at page 4, is under the definition of enforcement authority. And what enforcement authority means under this bill is not is a Wyoming state agency or it can also be a nonprofit incorporated in Wyoming, and there are a number of them in Wyoming that deal with housing issues that may qualify under this bill. But what this bill does is it takes those measures that are currently in law, which require, which prevent discrimination in the sales of homes, in the marketing of homes, in the listing of homes, in the rental of residences, and it ensures that there are complaints, if there are complaints regarding those, that they can be filed with this enforcement agency, which will be a local agency, which will allow people to walk in, actually sit down, talk to the enforcement officers. If there's a problem, you can make a call in the state, walk down the street, whatever it may be. But the intent is really like those of other bills we've had this session, such as the local rule for nuclear regulation. It's a matter of taking what otherwise is enforced by the federal government and ensuring that we have a local voice in it and local control. And just real quickly, we don't need to walk unless you want to, and you can certainly ask me to walk line by line through the bill, but generally the first 12 pages or so talk specifically about what acts are prohibited, and it spells out that it's the sale or rental of homes, it's the publication of the sale of homes, and then if you get to page 13, pages 13 through 18 spell out a number of different exemptions. And again, these are all exemptions that exist right now. We're just incorporating them through this bill. And those exemptions include property owners with less than four single-family homes, property owners with rental buildings of four units or less when they live in a rental unit, some exemptions regarding private clubs and religious organizations. And then the last part of the bill, the page essentially 19 and on talks about how claims and complaints are administered. And really, it is if you as a person think you're discriminated against, you file a complaint with the enforcing agency. They investigate it. The bill's really pointed towards a conciliation process of trying to work it out. If you can't work it out, of course, there can be a charge issued, and there's also a private right of action under this bill, just as there is under the existing federal law. So that really, in essence, is the bill. I know you've gotten probably a lot of emails this morning on it, and I would just say I would almost guarantee you that if those folks knew what the bill actually did, they would be all for it. They would be for having this enforcement take place in the state of Wyoming rather than having to go to a federal bureaucracy to have these same laws enforced. So just forgive them. They know not what they do. And anyway, I would sure accept any questions on the bill, but would urge your aye vote on the bill.
Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And remember, it wasn't me who decided to keep you for over lunch. Okay, I have some questions on the bill, and I appreciate the intent of the bill, but I'm just wondering if we're already complying with this, why it takes 40-some pages to get an agency in the state to be able to administer this. So on page 2, we're putting in an aggrieved person, and that is it's on page 2 under 4026102. We're putting in an aggrieved person talking about a discriminatory housing practice, that they believe the person will be injured by a discriminatory housing practice or that is about to occur. So that's a pretty general statement there. So I'd like some, I realize this is the federal law, but as a good representative said, the federal government is nonsensical many times. And so I think we still need to be careful, even if we're lining up with federal statute, what we're doing. On page 10 under D, and this is the Disability Act, and indulge me because I'm fairly new here. We are adopting standards as of July 1st, 2015, which that hasn't been done yet, so I would just like a little explanation on that. Let's see. On line page 15, we have exemptions for religious organizations. Just wondering if there's some for individuals as well. Page 18, duties and powers of the enforcing authority, which before there was a, we don't know who the enforcing authority would be. It could, we've been told that this won't grow government and that the enforcing authority could be a non-profit. So I'm a little uncomfortable with going ahead and authorizing an enforcing authority when we don't know who that might be. Let's see. Okay. And they will be enforcing the Fair Federal Housing Regulations, which we've been told. They can cooperate with local governments. And then on page 26 under charge, it talks about a charge issued under this act. The numbers shall consist of a short and plain statement of the facts on which the enforcing authority finds reasonable cause to believe that a discriminatory housing practice has occurred or is about to occur, shall be based on the final investigative report, and is not limited to the facts or grounds alleged in this complaint. That causes me concern because I'm wondering if they can come in and it's not limited to the complaint that is lodged against them, so I'm wondering about that as well. And with that, I think I'll let you answer some of my questions. Thank you.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I wanted to throw a couple of more questions in there. Not knowing anything about the federal law other than what's available in my online encyclopedia there, on page 14, line 17, where we have an exemption, which I presume is from the federal law, for people selling or renting rooms in their own home, in essence, I see that line 17, we have 4026103 and 4026105 through 109 not applying, but we've omitted 104, which is the publicity, and I'm just wondering if that was an omission or is that the federal law. If I'm allowed to choose, in essence, what kind of person I want to rent out a room in my home, I'm not quite sure why we would not allow me to advertise such. I mean, if I wanted to put up a poster saying, wanted middle-aged lady to rent room, it seems like I ought to be able to do that. And the other question then would be in lines 21 through 23, if the owner maintains and occupies, and I'm wondering whether through the federal law we would be allowed to also have an exemption for, and I don't know what the proper vocabulary would be, but in essence, the lessor. And what I'm thinking of is when I was in grad school, two other people and I rented a flat, and when one of the people left town, we went out and found a third roommate to go in on our rental agreement, and obviously we would have wanted to be able to choose a person to share the bathroom and the kitchen and the living room with us of our own choosing. So is it possible to insert some language for a sub lease type situation?
Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I'll try to answer all those questions. First, the question regarding a grieved person. Really, the what you need to look at in determining who's entitled to protections under the Act, and this is found in a number of places in the Act, but it's most clearly seen on page 5 probably, is that this applies to discrimination based on race, color, religion, sex, disability, familial status, or national origin. And that, again, is directly reflective of what is in federal law right now, and familial status is specifically defined. So that, when you're talking about an aggrieved person, you can have, anybody can file a complaint, of course, but unless you can show discrimination based on one of those protected classes, you're not entitled to
relief under the Act. There was a question on page 10D that talked about, when it talks about the standards and protecting against disabilities and the requirements of complying with, and it describes the American National Standard for Building Facilities as it exists on July 2015. So this is a standard that is, my understanding is promulgated pursuant to the Americans with Disabilities Act. It is a standard that periodically receives revisions, and so we're just saying it's the most recent one. That's why that date is in there. When talking about page 26, there was a question about the grounds in the eventual order aren't limited to the grounds found in the complaint. That's because you have an investigation required under this act. And so you get the complaint, and they go out, they interview people, and the findings of the order can be a result of any of the evidence that's presented as part of the investigation. And again, that's how it currently works under the federal enforcing authorities. There was some questions about we don't know who the enforcing authority is yet, and that's true. And again, I kind of like the way this is done, because if we say, okay, the state of Wyoming is going to be the enforcing authority, what you're saying is an agency is going to come in and say, okay, then we need 10 people scattered around the state in order to do this enforcement, and here's the budget we need, and et cetera, et cetera. If the state decides, and it hasn't been decided in this bill, but if they do decide to go with a nonprofit entity, you go to the nonprofit and you say, okay, you can go get grants from HUD or whoever it may be and enforce this, but all of a sudden we get out of that saddle of having to look at additional employees and an additional agency within the state. That being said, when you have these third-party enforcement agencies, they have to comply with the statute, and they can only enforce what's allowed by the statute, and they can only investigate as allowed by the statute, and they can only issue orders as allowed by the statute. And so it's no different in that respect than if you did have state agencies, because they have to follow this law that I'm asking you to vote aye on. And then finally, the questions with respect to the exemptions. The situation on sublease, you would be exempt because you wouldn't own, you own not more than four units. And so, I mean, the fact that you're just renting out a portion of a unit necessarily means you fall under that exemption. The exemptions that are reflected in here are the same as they are in federal law, and frankly, if we're going to have state enforcement, we don't have the authority to adopt additional exemptions. And that's frankly just the way it is. So I hope that answers most of the questions.
Representative Nichols.
Thank you. Just a couple questions. If this is adopted by the state, my first question, does it have to mirror all the federal guidelines, or can we have additional exclusions or exceptions? And number two, if the state adopts this, what have other states done in terms of the funding mechanism to operate it? Are there federal grants to do it? Are we going to have to create an agency? And where are those funds going to come from? And then if you could, then please also explain, I think, for the body, how this is being administered now through the federal government. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. excuse me, to try and answer some of those questions. The law has to be, as they state it federally, the law has to be substantially equivalent to the federal act. So what we have before us today is substantially equivalent to the federal act. We can make slight altercations and modifications, but as I said, it has to be substantially equivalent. In terms of funding this, the federal agency that administers it currently offers grants for all of the setup and all of the inspections and all of the investigations. So the money would come straight from the folks that are currently doing it. It just would allow it to be done here in the state of Wyoming through friends, well, maybe not friends, but through folks in your local communities possibly, and if not statewide, it could potentially be set up to where there'd be a different nonprofit offering the services for this community and a different one for the center part of the state and a different one for the remaining parts of the state, or who knows how that might ultimately turn out. So that's what that should answer the question in terms of what we can do in terms of changing it and to the funding side of it. Back to the question about the standards as of July 1st, 2015, that is in there because that is when the law becomes effective. And so that way we know what were the standards the day the law became effective, and it just matches up to that. And so if it were effective immediately, we'd have something in there that said effective those standards as of the date it became effective. So that's why that's stated that way. And I'd like to point out, too, that this would input absolutely no new burdens on Wyoming real estate practitioners. This is all the same as it is today. And then as I was discussing the money earlier, this is totally budget neutral as the funding would come from a federal source to those nonprofits or whomever ultimately took over the enforcement.
The question being called, all those in favor of Representative Swanitzer's motion that when the committee of the whole rises to report it, do so with a recommendation that Senate File 132 do pass, please say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed?
No.
Senate File 132 has passed Committee of the Whole. Madam Majority Floor Leader.
Madam Chairman, I finally move that the Committee of the Whole rise and report. Oh, excuse me. Madam Chairman, I move that the Committee of the Whole begs leave to rise and sit again until 2:15 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Committee announcements. Representative Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. I have three committee announcements. First, Committee Number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions will meet immediately in H-18 to hear the following three bills. Senate File 99, Wyoming Pharmacy Act Amendments, Senate File 136, Engrossed, Expedited EMT Licensing, and Senate File 116, Legislative Compensation. In addition, the Conference Committee for House Bill 42 will take place tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in Senate Corporations. So Representatives Larson and Lindholm and I will meet at 8 o'clock in Senate Corp. The Conference Committee on Senate File 33 will meet also in Senate Corp tomorrow at 8:45 a.m. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, will meet Friday, 10 minutes upon noon recess, where we will hear our last bill, Senate File 3, Engrossed, Right to Try, and then we will spend the rest of the committee on interim topics that will be carried over also on Monday, 10 minutes upon adjournment.
Vice Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 4 has been doing great work, and so we're going to take Friday off. However, committee realizes that on Monday we're going to look at interim subjects, and then on Wednesday we're going to discuss them with the Senate. Thank you.
Chairman Harshman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. House committee number 2, Appropriations, will meet immediately on noon recess to hear consider bills, one Senate File 141, Engrossed, State Budget Development, and Senate File 146, Spending Policy Amendments, and if time permitting, any other re-referred bills. Thank you.
Chairman Swanitzer.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highway, and Military Affairs, will meet directly after adjournment today to discuss interim topics. So, committee members, bring your interim topics.
Chairman Lockhart.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. Your committee number 9 will meet tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock in room H18 to consider interim topics. And in addition, the Joint Minerals Committee, Senate and House, will meet in House Bill 17 at noon on Monday to consider the joint interim topics.
The Committee of the Whole will rise and sit again at 2 p.m. Correction, 2:15.